Our blessed Father in heaven, we thank you very much for such a time as this. We thank you for the privilege and the grace you have given to us to be able to sing that song, Amazing Grace. How sweet the song. We thank you for the grace that came by the blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your patience with us. We thank you for your dealings in our lives. We bless you for your dealings upon us even since the morning. Thank you for your instructions, for direction. We bless you because you have a plan and you have a purpose for each one of us. We thank you also because of the plan that you have for the church. We thank you for this time. We bless you as we look into your face. And we can see your love for us. As we come this evening, we pray that you might open the windows of heaven and that you might pour down your blessings. You might send down your word. You might give seed to the sower and give us fresh bread, even strength at the entrance of your word. Will bring life, will bring light, will bring encouragement, will bring deliverance. We pray you might write upon the tables of our heart that the snare will be broken and we will escape as a bird out of the snare of the fowler. We just bless your name, O God. Let your presence overshadow us. Cause us, Lord, to come up to a higher ground in you. Just bless your name. Glorify your name. In the name of Jesus. Amen. It's a real privilege and blessing to be here today. And just before I start, I'm going to ask my wife to come. I think she has a scripture to read.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
It's a privilege to be here today and for the refreshing we have received from God so far. A thought has been coming to my heart for some time, and came strong after Brother Milani shared what he said. It's from Luke chapter 23, verse 50. And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and a just. The same had not consented to the counsel and deed of them. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. And he dipped down and wrapped it in gold and laid it in a sepulchre that was hewn with stone, wherein never man before was laid. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. And the women also which came with him from Galilee followed after and beheld the sepulchre and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Praise the Lord. This thought has been in my heart for some time. We know what happened to Jesus. The Pharisees, they beat him, they battered him, they ultimately killed him, and then he was buried. The Bible says concerning Joseph of Arimathea, he was a good man, he was a just man, and he did not consent to the deed of killing of Jesus. And then what else? He waited for the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. But he did something different. Others beat, battered, killed the body of Jesus. But he asked for the body of Jesus. And what did he do? He preserved the body. He wrapped it in linen. I think the John chapter said with Nicodemus, they bought spices and kept the body. Now, what the Lord has been ministering to me, the things we do account to either battering the body of Christ or preserving the body of Christ. As I listened to Brother Milani, what he said concerning that brother, the speaking that, as it were, ultimately came to the point of his death. May the Lord help us that we stand in the ministry of Joseph of Arimathea. He took the body of Jesus and preserved it, wrapped it in linen and spices. It's the Lord's desire, I believe. What God will want of us to do is rather than batter the body, to preserve the body of Christ. Praise the Lord.
Thank you very much for this time of fellowship. Sometime early this year, I got a word to come here, and we began to pray about it, and several things have worked to make it possible for us to be here. Amen. I'll try to speak very slowly and to make sure I do all the right things so that you can hear me very well. It's a little bit too late in the day to change, to learn some of this American way of speaking and all that. So the younger ones are much better. But we will try. So we'll be praying, and there is a word that the Lord is speaking. Amen. And I believe, like someone said, when we came in, that we want to hear what the Lord is saying. You know, and I believe He will give us an ear to hear. The word on my heart is about midnight. You probably may have heard parts of it, but I believe there's an aspect of it which is specific for this gathering, for this conference. So if you will talk with me to Matthew 25. I'm sure everyone in this room is familiar with Matthew 25, so, and because I have a long road to travel, so I'm going to skip some of the scriptures, and we'll try to go straight to the point. Matthew 25, you know, it has two legs. Wise virgin, foolish virgin, we know, are familiar with. But the word that came out very clearly for us in this conference is in verse 5. The wise and the foolish virgins, verse 5 says, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. You know, so isn't it interesting that both the wise and the foolish slept? Amen. You probably think, you know, the foolish will sleep and the wise will be awake. But here it says, they all slumbered and slept. You know, so I believe it's addressing a situation in the church. Of course, we're here, so it will speak to us. But I believe it speaks to everyone else, even those who are not here. And it certainly speaks to me. I like to usually dig into words, you know, dig into the scriptures, you know. So I would like to consider slumber. What does it mean to slumber? What does it mean to sleep? Well, let's get a little, some context of, you know, what the scripture says, so it can help us, you know, proceed. I'm looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. They are saying something about sleeping. Verse 6 says, well, let's read 5. It says, ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Verse 7, for they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are also drunken in the night. Amen. Amen. You know, so the thing about the word of God is that, of course, you know, it comes in dimensions. Not just coming in dimensions, it runs in several areas, you know. So we see sleeping goes with drunkenness. Sleeping goes with being sober. You know, being if you are somebody is slumbering, the opposite of that would be someone who's sober, isn't it? Somebody who is drunken, you are not sensitive. You lose sensitivity. You are not aware of what is happening around you. You are not aware, or you are not up to the plate of your responsibility. You are, you know, you let your responsibilities slack. You lose your focus. You begin to wonder, you know, all kinds of things happen. Of course, we are describing a natural situation. But we know that the Word of God is not just as a natural. You know, just looking at you as a person, we are not just natural. Even though, for most of the time, we like to be natural people. And we like to address our problems as natural. In the physical, but much as we will like all the things we have to deal with to just remain at the physical plane, the sad story and the reality of today is that the things we deal with are not just on the physical. The scripture says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the... So there is a spiritual dimension, you know, and then let me read one more scripture to maybe give some more context. Psalm 13, I'm sorry, I've been reading a lot of scriptures. We'll be reading a lot of scriptures, Psalm 13, 1-3, verse 3. He said, consider and hear me, O Lord my God. You know, the next phrase, it gets me excited. He said, lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. So you see, the whole game changes. So when you are talking about sleeping, you're not just thinking of taking a nap. So there is the reality of sleep in the spirit. And of course, we know where it's going to, the sleep of death. You know, and here this man is praying and asking God to lighten his eyes. So you see, something else comes into the picture: eyes, senses. All right, so going back to that scripture, the story of the virgins, they all slumbered and slept, both the wise and the foolish. Who is wise? Who is foolish? It says the foolish, they had oil in the lamp. The wise had oil in the lamp and in the vessel. But even with the oil in the vessel, they all slumbered and slept. Amen. So, coming again to looking at sleeping. You know, so who? So what is this speaking of? And you know, all this becomes interesting when we know this is happening at midnight. You know, it's a scenario happening at midnight, and of course, midnight means night. You know, and again, the night, is it the physical night, or is it something spiritual? So you're looking at spiritual night, sleeping, eyes, alertness, and all this you have to bring into context, you know. And then, well, it makes more meaning when you look at yourself. And you know, when I look at myself, we know that man has different dimensions. For most of the time, we are dealing with the natural. Paul calls it the outer man, the outward man. You know, but Paul also spoke of the inward man. You know, so there is something happening within me, a reality that is within. So is it possible God is speaking about this reality, both for those who are wise and for those who are foolish? Is there a reality that is common to all? You know, what is he addressing? What is he speaking of? Let me read another scripture. Isaiah 56. Isaiah 56 verse 10, he says, his watchmen are blind. Is that possible? Who are watchmen? Okay, can you permit me to change the word watchmen to sons of God? You know, the watchmen are blind. Is it possible? Or the sons of God are blind. In other words, those who have the sonship message, that we are blind. You see, his watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. Ah. What does the next phrase say? Sleeping. Lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are all greedy dogs, which can never have enough. And they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, everyone for his gain from his quarter. Come ye, say they, I will fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink. And tomorrow shall be as this day, and much more abundant. Amen. Is this speaking of something that is real? You know, this is a word for watchmen. sons of God. And he's saying sons of God have fallen asleep. That there is something happening, you know, to the sons of God. So you can see both the wise virgins and the foolish, something is happening. So while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Amen. So, in my own estimation, I think God is addressing a situation in the church. Let me give you a scripture. I'm not going to read it. It's somewhere in Jeremiah 12, I think verse 5, if I remember. He says, "If we have wronged with footmen, and they wearied us, what are we going to do with the horses?" Can I tell you about? Let me talk to you about. Well, talk to us, not to you. You have to watch the language. You know, horses speak of spirit, in my understanding. Now, when you talk about spirit, you know, I remember we're not just looking at the natural. We're moving up now into the spirit. Because you are first body, but all the other things are spirit. Your soul is spirit. The spirit is spirit. You know, as you are in this room now, the soul of everybody here is in a spiritual reality. It's in a spiritual realm, fellowshipping with spirits. Of course, we don't like to admit that, but that's the reality. Because the body works on a certain frequency. Well, if you permit that word, the spirit also and the soul also work great in those dimensions. And for a long time, we have slumbered and slept because we have defined ourselves. We have defined our Christianity by body. You know, we think that all that there is to the Christian is the outward man. Paul said, though the outward man perish, there is a reality. He says the inward man should be renewed. It's not just that. The Bible says in Ephesians, Paul said, "I pray that you might be strengthened with what? Mind." Where? In the inward man. There is a place of strength. And the place of strength for the church is not natural level. The devil will want us to, you know, function. And of course, I shouldn't be talking, you know, telling you Americans that. If there's any one country in the world that have mastered the natural, it is the great United States of America. The biggest government in the world, the biggest economy in the world, the biggest army, the biggest food industry, medical industry. Mention it, you are number one. But that's natural. Do you know about the spirit? Are you strong in the spirit? Because the horses are coming. And somebody said they're already here. Amen. Hallelujah. So, we are looking at a situation where God is complaining about the watchmen, about the sons of God. There is a complaint. Yes, God wants to bless us, He's blessing us, He will continue to bless us. But that's one stream of what God is saying. God is also saying something, that He has an issue with the watchmen, because they are asleep, they are drunken. But let's look at the scripture to see if this makes sense. When you go to the book of Ruth, we see sons of God. Amen. There are two sons of God, or two watchmen that we find there. Who are these watchmen? The first one is called Elimelech. Elimelech means "my God is king." Amen. He was the son of God. Hallelujah. We find another son of God, his name is Boaz. And both of them were in the house of God. In Bethlehem. This is house of bread. Amen. Right, don't respond. Okay, praise God. Well, that's a good one. Amen. So what happens? Is it possible for you to have famine in the house of bread? Is it possible? In the house of bread, you have famine. Is it possible? So, when you have famine in the house of bread, what are you going to do? Well, this man, this son of God, guess what he did? He went to Moab. He journeyed to Moab. Now, of course, in the natural, when you hear Moab, it doesn't rob you. There's nothing to worry about. Ah, but in the spirit, that's your worry. That's your cause big worry. Who is Moab? Moab is 666. Moab means born of the flesh. Is that which you get from the flesh? Flesh from flesh. Amen. Is it possible for a son of God to function in the flesh? A watchman. Now, I mean, what happens to him? The Bible says that he had the first son. Guess what he called his son? Disease. Malon means disease, sickness. As though that was not enough, he has his next son. Guess what he calls him? Pining. You know, someone who is pining, who is complaining, who is, you know, will not amount to anything. A wasted generation. Huh. How come a son of God, an anointed son of God, he's in Moab? Next, he has sons, and he's calling them Moab. He's calling them Malon, and so it means something is wrong. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, is there anybody who's walked in the flesh in this room? Okay, let's put it the other way. Have you gone to Moab? Have you been in famine? The Bible says the time is coming when I will give you a famine of words, of hearing the word of the Lord, of hearing the voice of the Lord. What do you do in those situations? Do you still remain in Bethlehem? Do you still remain in the house of God? Or do you move down to Moab? The Bible says, cursed be he that trusts in the arm of the flesh. You know what's the flesh? One natural one for people like me is to use my mind, is to reason, use logic. You know? And it's an easy mode. When there's a problem, you know what to do. The bank account is there. You can get a loan. You can go to the hospital. You can get insurance. You can do this. Welfare. What's the other one? Medicaid. I hear they have approved something for you guys in Senate. You know? So you have your security. Be careful of Moab. Amen. Be careful of Moab. Because when the Son of God goes to Moab, there is one determined result. And that result is of Malon and Kilian. It's going to be a disaster. Amen. But let's look at the flip side so we can move on. It wasn't all going to be end that way. Another one, his name was Boaz. He stayed on. Amen. He walked on. And guess what? He ended up as the great grandfather of Jesus Christ. Amen. He brought forth fruit. So it's not always going to be a bad story. Someone says, when there is famine, famine always has a beginning and always has an end. I think I'll hear a big amen.
Amen.
Are you in famine now? Are you in a stress? If it's God, there will always be evening and there will be morning. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So, we are looking at an example of a son of God going, moving in the flesh, acting in the flesh, responding, you know. And you know, the devil will always want you and I to just come down to that level, to the realm of the flesh, and to respond at that place. Amen. Well, let's look at another story. Then I'll move on. Now, who is this story? Who is this speaking about? It's speaking of a young man called Jonah. Jonah was a minister of God. By the way, I believe that Elimelech had some offense with God. He had some issues with God. There were things rubbed him wrongly, and he began to respond. Like, he's not the only one that has that offense. Jonah had that offense also. Amen. So God says, go to Nineveh. Go and bring your word of deliverance. And Jonah moved in the wrong direction. You know, and what do we find? We find Jonah also sleeping. But where was he sleeping? First, he began to sleep inside the ship, and the next, he ended up in the belly of the fish, and he began to sleep. I believe that there are certain situations that are facing the people of God at this time that you can liken to the fish. You know what the there are situations that overwhelm you. You know, they come to you, you don't know what to do. By the way, midnight is not a day. Midnight can be an experience that you didn't plan for. It comes suddenly on you. For us as a people in the world, midnight is a series of events that have started. The world is entering into a period of spiritual darkness called midnight. And it is going to end up at midnight. There will be a point where it will reach a climax. We're not yet there in that climax. But every day the world is fast coming into that place of hardship. I was going to talk about the locust spirits. In Egypt, when the locust came, the darkness came after the locust. The locusts were the eighth in the series. And after the locust, the next plague was the plague of darkness. So there are certain spirits that have been released to usher in, to hasten the darkness. And while we are still speaking about the locust, what does the locust do? The locust eats the grain. It goes to the more green, the more tender, the more, you know, fresh, the more succulent the plant is, it becomes more food for the locust. So what is that speaking of? It's speaking about the place of tenderness. It's speaking about the place of intimacy. It's speaking about the place of fellowship, of relationship. And you know, there are so many things that are being thrown up in the world today. And you know, it is attacking that place of intimacy in our relationships, one with another, principally with God. And someone says, these locust spirits, they eat up the life of God in the inward man, within the soul. So what you have is an empty carcass. So the man is in fellowship, but he has nothing inwardly to give to God. So just moving from one event to the other, and not able to touch life, not able to bring life or receive life. And this is a situation that is descending on the church, fast descending on the church, because we are having a situation where these spirits have been let loose. Let me read a little bit, just to bring us into context. Revelation chapter 9 will bring the focus to what we are saying. Revelation chapter 9. We are speaking about the fifth trumpet. The fifth trumpet or the fifth station, you know better than I, deals with the soul. It's the offering of the soul, the golden altar. It's the place where the redeemed soul should be offered to Christ. And is it any wonder that's where you have this locust? So we're reading Revelation 9 from 2. It says, "And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth." Now, in Revelation, it identifies three levels: the earth, the sea, and the heaven. Alright? Both of us, all of us, we have an issue with the earth. We are earth people. We are earthbound people. So God is going to do something to the earth to address our affinity for the earth. And one of the things that we are finding is that the earth is no longer a safe place to be. And one of the things we find on the earth are the locusts. They are released upon the earth. Now, when you see a spirit, God, the scriptures always identifies to you the realm of operation of that spirit, the authority of that spirit, the effect of that spirit, what it's supposed to do and carry out. And here it says that the locusts were released upon the earth. Of course, there is the sea. The sea we can't address in this room, because the sea speaks of the unsaved humanity, the souls that have not been regenerated. We're not talking about that. But we're speaking about the earth. The souls that have received life, but have not risen, have not come up, that should be walking in the realms of heaven, but are spending a lot of time on the earth. So, when you review situations around you, I come from Africa, I come from Nigeria, the devil is tearing up every part of Africa. You know, we got missions to every part. I know it's becoming increasingly difficult. You know, of course, we know what's going on. And it so happens that, you know, this terror is not just localized to Africa, it's going everywhere. Because it's the sixth trumpet. You don't see that? It's the sixth trumpet. You know, there is something happening, and we are seeing a reality. We are hearing a message, and God is saying it is time to rise up. It's time to get out of slumber. It's time to awake. It's time for the sons of God to come to where the sons of God should be. And that's a later part of the message. But let's read down. It says, "And unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power, And please look at verse 4. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree. But listen, but only those men which have not the seal of God. Where? In the forehead. Amen. So verse 4 is telling us, it's specific, it's not suggesting it, it's specific, it's saying that the locusts have an effect. They have a target. It's going to bring destruction upon those who have not been sealed on the forehead. So we're speaking about the mind. The forehead speaks about the mind. So if we go back again to Genesis, Matthew 25, he's saying the wise virgin slumbered, the foolish virgin slumbered. It's not the one of saying I'm holier than thou. No, no, I can pray better than you. I fast 3 days. I do this. I do that. We've gone beyond all that. You know, we have even gone beyond sons of God, sonship message, end time, man-child company, all those names. We have exhausted all of them. And when we finish exhausting them, we come to the reality. What's the reality? Are you sealed on your forehead? Do you have a preoccupation with sealing on the forehead? Do I have a preoccupation, my preoccupation, as being sealed on the forehead? Because if I'm not sealed on the forehead, God, I mean, someone say my hands are tied. You know, there are some things that God cannot do. You know, so there's a provision that has been made, and that provision is that those who are called to be the people of God must be sealed by a ministry. Revelation 7 tells us about this ministry, that there's a ministry coming from the east. You know, there's a ministry coming from the east. The east is the mind of God, is the mind of Christ. And that ministry has a commission to seal the people of God on the forehead, because the locusts are coming. So we see that we have to look inward. We individually and as a people, we must be a people that look inward. Someone spoke about this morning about Esther. And when the word came, I thought, I agreed it was from the Lord. Esther. But it's not just Esther. There's another lady called Vashti. I don't know whether it's Vashti or Vashti. I don't know how you pronounce it. But there was another lady called Vashti. Is it Vashti or Vashti? Vashti, huh? Well, I thought it was Vashti, but I wasn't very sure. You know. So there was another lady called Vashti. What was she doing? Ah! She was partying. She was drunken. You know, she was having a nice time. She was doing her own thing. The king asked for her. He said, so, brethren, we are speaking about the presentation. There is the presentation of the soul. The Bible says that he is walking in the church to cleanse the church, that he might present unto himself a bride without any fault. Where is the spot? The spot is in the inward man. And brother, when we speak about the inward man, we are speaking about the soul and the spirit. The soul and the spirit make up the inward man. And when we speak about the soul, you know this one and me. We are speaking about the mind. We are speaking about the emotions, the desire, and the will. But you see, the chief part of the soul is the mind. The mind must command every realm of the soul to receive life. The mind gets life from the realm of the spirit and gives it to the other parts of the soul. And of course, thereafter, the body will pick it up. Amen. Ruby, you're not hearing me very well. How? Okay, I should say it again. Okay. Someone I know taught you very well. He told you that it is spirit over the mind, over the body, isn't it? Okay, so we know spirit is higher, followed by the soul, and then the body. What that means is 1 John 3, verse 2. What does it say? It says, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as the soul prospers. Yes. The energy of the body has been reserved for the spirit. It's what the spirit gets that it gives to the body. Amen. For a long time, we have run on reserve. We have run on the reserve, and it is fast running out. So the Bible says we are slumbering and sleeping. That is, we are coasting on the little oil in the realm of the spirit. The Bible says the spirit of man is what? Is the lamp. Huh? What means that the spirit empties into the soul and the soul empties into the body. In medicine, they talk about psychosomatic. That means psycho means soul, soma, body. That is diseases of the body which are referenced, which are as a result of the breakdown of the soul. The scripture says that a man's spirit will sustain his infirmity. In other words, when the spirit is broken, it can no longer sustain the body. So what is he saying? He's saying that there is an arrangement in the spirit, and God has so arranged it that the spirit will give life, will give light, will bring energy into the realm of the soul, and then the realm of the soul will energize the body. It's called the resurrection of Christ. That's what Acts chapter 2 is saying. He said that thou will not leave my soul in hell or suffer your Holy One to see corruption. Amen. There is an order of resurrection. The order of resurrection is first the spirit, second the body, the soul, and lastly the body. And time is running out for us. That's what he's saying, that the wise and the foolish are the sleeping. Yes. Yes. We have a little bit of oil in our soul. You know, we've received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That baptism is when that energy of heaven comes into the spirit. But that's not where it's meant to be. Because the soul that seen it shall die. Therefore, it's that soul that has seen that needs redemption. The spirit is a launching pad. Very soon it will go back. The spirit is to quicken the soul to rise up to a higher realm, to a higher dimension. Hallelujah. And keep in mind, we don't like to talk about it. We may think it is being too ambitious, but keep in mind that the Bible talks about the 41st generation. Therefore, there is a 42nd generation coming. What is the 41st generation? If you, of course, those who have counted, you know it was Jesus. Jesus is not the 42nd. He's not the last generation. But Jesus is the head. He is coming for a body. He's coming for a soul. When he says body, he's coming for a soul. He's coming for a soul that must that must make a transition. That is the that wise virgin. It says, when the cry was made at midnight, behold, the bridegroom cometh. He's telling you there's going to be a movement. There's going to be a transition. The bride is soon going to move. Or put it the right way, the bride are already waking up. They are beginning to move. Are you still slumbering? Am I still slumbering? You know, when a man slumbers, you know, it can be a distraction. There are distractions that makes the Son of God, the sons of God, to be distracted. One, career. Two, ministry. Huh? Jonah was concerned with his ministry. I had an issue with God. How are you going to bring life to those guys? They're wicked. They did so and so and so. I don't agree with you. And you know what he did? Rebellion. He acted, you know, his own frame of mind. So we're looking at career. We're looking at ministry. We're looking at entertainment. We're looking at fashion. There are many things, many legitimate things that can occupy me, and every one of them God will bless. Amen. But you see, while God is blessing that, I have not come into the reality. And as far as God is concerned, I am sleeping. Why am I sleeping? Because I'm not addressing the meat of the matter. Yes, you can come to fellowship, conference, no problem. God is going to bless everyone of that. But we must come to the plate. We must come to address the issue. And what is the issue? The inward man, the soul, must be prepared for this marriage. And what's the marriage? The joining of Christ with the soul. The soul is the prize. What shall it profit a man to gain all the world and to lose it? So look at the scripture. He says, Christ in you. When he says Christ in you, is it in my leg? Christ in the soul is the hope. Someone was speaking about hope this morning. Hope of glory. What's the glory? The glory means the soul lost something. The soul was uncovered. What's his name? Austin Sparks said the soul climbed down from heaven and became a carnal man. Amen. Hallelujah. In other words, the soul must climb back again. Is that not what the tabernacle is showing us? It's a step wise increase, a climbing back into the heavens. And in speaking about this, we are speaking about the reality of the mind, the reality of what you call emotion. Those are English words, but they are speaking about the spiritual reality. Revelation called them living creatures. They're entities. They are realms. There are energies. There are things that are living and working that demand attention. Amen. Hallelujah. So let's look at another scripture. Isaiah 55 says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your own thoughts. So the thought of man fell. So when Christ comes into the soul, he has come into a mind that is earthbound, is fallen. It's a fallen, the mind is on the ground. It's bound, it's bound to the earth. And you see that, you see Pharaoh, he's talking about the carnal mind. Pharaoh rules Egypt. And you are not going to go anywhere in America unless you can be sharp in your mind. You know, you react. You know all the information. You know what to do. You know, you have to be sharp. He's speaking about the mind, the carnal mind. But you see, the carnal mind is not all that there is to you. There is also the unconscious mind. There is no unconscious mind, when you sleep, what do you think is going on? The unconscious mind comes into play. Does Christ have anything to do with that? Is there a reality? Is there a redemption for the soul? Is there a redemption for the emotion? Is there a redemption for the mind? For the will? Amen. And that is the slumber that the scripture is addressing for the wise and the foolish. So it's not just to say I'm a son of God. What are you doing about the inward man? What are you doing about the mind? What are you doing to address this man that must be? Now, when Christ comes into the soul, the Bible could say it is a hope. In other words, there is a reality for the soul that brings into the glory, that brings it into the place of being a partaker of power, of the vitality. Somebody calls it the above death situation and lifestyle. Let me read a couple of scriptures, then we'll begin to close. Acts 28. Acts 28. Acts 28, 26 and 27 says, saying, go unto these people and say, hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and not perceive. For the heart of these people is wax gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. So he's speaking about a condition of the heart. And one of the impressions that I would like to leave is that as much as you have an outward man who has eyes, who has ears, who has all the senses, I would like us to appreciate that in the spirit, there is more capacity in the spirit for you to see. There is more capacity in you in the spirit to hear what God is saying. There is more capacity for all the senses in your body to function in the realm of the spirit. If not, why will God talk to you? How does he speak? You understand? Bible says, ears have not heard, eyes have not seen the things, alright, but they are revealed. Where? To who? Is it to your natural ears? So at the realm of your heart, at the realm of the soul, there is the capacity to hear God. There is the capacity to see God. And that is the beginning of the waking up of the inward man. The inward man must see the kingdom before you can talk of walking into the kingdom. So yes, you are born again, you are doing this, you are doing that. That's first level. The inward man must come to the brazen altar. I thought I would have time to draw, but we don't have time. That brazen altar, there are four signs. It's speaking about the four dimensions of the soul. This inward man must come to the place of judgment. What is the judgment about? The judgment is the fact that this inward man has been asleep, doesn't know God. Just like, you know, a newborn child has to be taught, has to see God, has to begin to appreciate God. This bride must come to the point where the eyes of the understanding are opened. The ears, the ability to hear God begin to open. How is Christ going to marry a bride he cannot talk to? A bride that cannot recognize him, that cannot relate to him. Brethren, we have to wake up. Christ cannot marry a carnal soul. The soul that is going to be joined to Christ must be awake.
Amen.
Must rise up. Let me read Isaiah 29. So we're not just speaking about end time or sons of God. We're speaking about the reality of the midnight crying. Isaiah 29 verse 10 says, "For the Lord hath poured upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and hath closed your eyes. The prophets and your rulers, the seers, hath he covered." And then he says, he goes on and on. Let me begin to close. Let me start from Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5:14 says, "Wherefore he said, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." Amen. There is a positive note. Something positive. Something to look forward to. So it's not really bad after all to agree that I'm asleep, because there is hope, as someone said this morning. Amen. You know, and I can exercise faith. Yes, that I'm asleep, and I have the opportunity, I have the right to respond to God and then to become awake. Amen. So it says, "Awake, and Christ shall give thee light." Amen. So, is this a familiar word?
Yeah.
Is this a familiar word? Does this make sense? Okay. Maybe let's read just one or two scriptures in that light, just to confirm in our hearts. To give us hope, to give us encouragement, give us strength. John chapter 5. John chapter 5. What does it say? John chapter 5, verse 24 and 25. What does it say? "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Verse 25. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead..." Who are the dead? This inward man that is sleeping. You know, there is a new definition in town for what a son of God should be. A son of God is the soul that has woken up from sleep, that is fully awake and responding to God. That is the definition of a son of God. Amen. Hallelujah. So God doesn't measure you by your activity in the natural, but you are measured, and I am measured by how much I can hear in the realm of the spirit. Amen. The demon is so small. How much I can see into the realm of the spirit. Because brethren, we have believed that we cannot see, that we cannot hear, that we cannot be alive in the spirit. It is a lie the devil has sold on the church. Amen. Somebody was talking about getting angry in the spirit. Brother, we must reject this condition.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. And the only way God can cause you to reject it is to allow the locust to visit and knock on your door. Amen. So what are you doing on my territory? The devil to visit and knock on the door and say, what are you doing on my territory? The territory is on the flesh. Brethren, the flesh doesn't belong to us. Hallelujah. We are pilgrims. We belong to the realm of the spirit. Amen. You know, we have the calling to be bride.
Yes.
Sons of God.
Yes.
The Bible says, he that has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. Amen. He said, he that is slow to anger is stronger than the evangelist that is converting everybody in Illinois. Amen. He that is slow to anger. That is the definition of a son of God. My attitude. Hey, you have the doctrine right. Can we talk about your attitude? Hey. And my attitude has been very, very bad. Amen. Do you have a good attitude? You have pass mark. You know, attitude starts with husband and wife. That's how you check. Not here. Is at home. You know? You know, I find it difficult to say thank you when my wife does something for me. That's attitude. So she says, you didn't say thank you. I said, I'm sorry. I'm still working on it. I'm trying to make sure I can go and say, when she does something, I say, thank you. And I say it very, very well. Amen. Well, I guess it doesn't affect you guys. You know, you are very cautious. You know, you do it all well. Amen. But you know, we can start with that. Amen. Spirit. Rule over the spirit. Amen. That is a son of God. Hallelujah. So we see that there is a lot of slumber, that there is a lot of weakness in the inward man. I'll give you an example. There was a man called Jesus. By the way, I started from 42nd, I jumped 41st. The 42nd generation is Christ in the body. That is head and body joined together. That is the 42nd. Amen. 41st is head alone. Hallelujah. 42nd is not going to kick away the first, kick away the head and say, now we are better than Christ. No, it is Christ in me, the fullness of Christ in my emotions. Hallelujah. The fullness of Christ in my desire, in my will, in my mind, on a practical basis. That is this generation that is coming, that is awake, that is alive. Amen. The Bible says that the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings. Now, how will it feel like to have the energy of Christ in my emotions and someone has come to offend me? As I've received a bad report, they say, oh, you did so and so and so and so. And how is that going to line up with Christ in my emotion? Amen. So there is no excuse. The excuse is that we have been slumbering. The excuse is that we have not faced this situation head on. Hallelujah. The inward man must awake. He says, awake, awake. O Zion. Zion must awake. And you know, this young man stood. The Bible says that he was transformed. Tell you what happened. He released the energy in his soul. Someone was speaking. Do you know you have an energy in your soul?
Amen.
But how much energy do you have? The energy you have in your soul is equal to the connection of your spirit to the spirit of Christ. Amen. So there is a river. I don't know if I have time to just draw something. There's a river. At least we can remember this. So this is my spirit, and this is my soul, and then somewhere is my body, isn't it? But you see, my spirit is not just spirit alone. My spirit is in fellowship with another big spirit called the Holy Spirit. Of the Spirit of Christ. I can boast of that. Hallelujah. Alright. There is a big power station in the heavens feeding my own power station. Hallelujah. Amen. So here you have Christ, and here you have the Father, isn't it? So you have the energy running down. Hallelujah. Amen. He says, on that day, Jesus said, everyone that is hungry, let him come. Because out of the belly, will do what? Will flow rivers. Whether you believe it or not, there is a river flowing from your spirit into your soul. It is possible that that river has run dry. But this night, it can be re-energized. Hallelujah. It can begin to run again. Amen. And you know, when we have a breakdown of relationship, I hope you won't mind me. What it means is that the river stopped running, and the soul became overwhelmed. There was no oil in it. Hallelujah. There was no oil. And like we say in Nigeria, the engine has knocked. Yeah, sorry, I don't know about you American people. But it means that the engine has kaput, knocked. That means running, there is no oil. The emotion is overwhelmed, it's knocked, giving up. And you guys say, I want out. Do you know, have you heard that before? I want out. I want to quit. I want to quit means that the energy, the oil has run dry. Amen. Hallelujah. But the Bible is telling us that we can always go and refuel. Hallelujah. Say, there is a river that make it glad, the city of God. Is that Psalm 46? There is a river that makes glad. And that river can flow every day. Amen. Yeah. Say, I've got a river of life flowing out. It's a very good song. Until someone gets you offended. Amen. That's how we know whether you still have that river flowing. Amen. And you know how you know the river is working is when you have somebody to forgive. Okay. That's the test of the river. Do you have someone? You know the person to forgive is your wife or your husband. Leave all these guys out. Amen. Okay, David is doing something. He's talking to somebody. Amen. So that means. Amen. Hallelujah. And then when you come in here, you have some brethren, you see. You have some brethren like me who are always looking for trouble. Who have a bad attitude. They say the camel has a bad attitude. Amen. Hallelujah. So you come into the house of God filled with people with bad attitude. And you have to forgive them. You have to be patient with them. That means you need a lot of oil. You need to have that oil running all the time. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So brethren, the Bible says we must awake. 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 Because there is a trumpet that says, behold, the bridegroom cometh. I don't know if you are hearing it, but I'm hearing it. Trouble is coming. Amen. And he says, all of them went to trim their lamps. And he said, give me your oil. Somebody said, no. You must go and buy. And right now, we still have some time to buy some oil. Because the time is coming, the door will be shut. And we can't buy any more oil. Hallelujah. So yes, we have a little oil, but the inward man is asleep. The mind is... The higher the mind is, the more ability it has to get more light. Jesus says, to him that has, more will be given. Do you know it? To him that doesn't have, even that which he has will be taken. That means, if my mind is on the ground, that means that even you'll be drained. Hallelujah. Because I do not have the strength to resist the energy. Amen. And there are so many things that want the oil I have. So many spirits. You know, they want it. You know, so I need to climb up. The Bible says, they that wait on the Lord will mount up as eagle. Amen. At the end of this conference, you'll see your mind is at a very high place. Can you sustain it? Yes, you can. You can. You can sustain it. Amen. You know, and I used to say, Jesus woke up every morning, a great while before morning. That's when others are sleeping, he's out. What is he doing? He's dying oil. He's, you know, making all the connections to heaven. What do you think you should be doing? You know, I call it the Jesus lifestyle. It's a recommendation. Amen. You know, that way, it's not just a few minutes, read some scripture, you write it, and we've gone beyond just playing around with one or two verses. We need to hide the word. We need to get the word real down. There's also some another good scripture, Romans 6 and Romans 13, and I think we should be running up. Romans 6:5-6. He said, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, Romans 6:5, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing that our old man is what? Crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Let's put it this way. For the normal believer, the body rules. The body has dominion. I don't know about you, I'm telling you about myself. You know, when we talk about fasting, I start complaining. I have to start planning. You know, which day of the week am I going to, that the day fasting will take place? Are you like that? The day you are going to go to party, no fasting that day. Amen. Because we are a body people. The outward man has been ruling the inward man for some time. And the time to stop that has come. Amen. That is the baptism. So that baptism means to be buried. What are we burying? We are burying the old man, the old lifestyle. And out of it will come authority and strength for the inward man. That's what Jesus demonstrated. What he was showing was the inward man ruling over the elements. Amen. And I'm telling you, brethren, we can have authority over the elements. That was over the body. The body was given as a minister for the soul. Your body was given to you as a minister for your soul. I can command my body. David commanded his soul. So my soul, wait on the Lord. If we have enough spiritual authority, we can also speak to our body. Amen. We can command our body. Of course, we can speak to another one. So Jesus came to a place of spiritual authority. And brethren, that's where we are coming into. Not just divine healing, divine health. Because of the energy that is now available in the realm of our mind. Hallelujah. Instead of using the earth energy to fight one another, we can use and give life. We can release God. Amen. You know, the Bible says on this, after every 7 years, you must release your captives. Do you have any captives? Do I have any captives? Are there captives? Yeah, people I have kept captive in my mind. Yeah? They are in prison. I can give them parole. I can release them on parole. That is, they are free. I can forgive them. I can give them life. I can pray for them. Amen. Every morning I pray for them. Jesus said, pray for your enemies. Pray for those that hurt you. Those that you don't like their face. Those that walk all over you. Give them some life. Forgive them. Release them. Amen. Hallelujah. Brother, we can practice on life giving. And you start with the bad ones. The very bad ones. Because I'm going to give this life. I'm going to give life. And more abundantly. That's how to be godly and godlike. In his own image. In his own likeness. Yeah. Hallelujah. Identify the bad situations in your life. Say, this one, this relationship is dead. It can never come alive. It's a project for God. And with God, nothing is impossible. It's not so. It's honor. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? No. Amen. So the bad project, I hope I'm part of it. He said, that brother, God bless him. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Brethren, we can be like givers. Amen. You know, our emotions can rise and become life emotions. Life-giving minds. Hallelujah. You know, and there is so much energy and power in this room. But it's locked up. It says my virgin is like a, my bride is like a city enclosed. Hallelujah. God said he will do something, and that the, you know, so that there will be a, you know, the rivers will flow, there will be a release. Hallelujah. So, baptism is a prophecy to the soul. When you are prophesying to the soul that one day you are going to be baptized into Christ, mortality will be swallowed up of life. Amen. Those are not English language, they are spiritual realities. Amen. Amen. So that's what he's saying here, that as we have been planted in the likeness, we also raised up in the likeness of his life. Look at Romans 13. Yes. We are coming to finally. Yes, finally, we are at the tail end. Romans 13, verse 11 says, and that knowing that the time, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Is our salvation nearer than when we believe? Brother, you must believe it.
Amen.
I don't know what you believe, but Chima was talking about faith. Brethren, I don't know where what your faith is all about, but you can believe this. You know, out in Africa where things are challenged, you don't have an option, but you must believe. Amen. You believe runs high. But here where you have 24 hours light, the road, you can close your eye and drive from Atlanta to Mahomet. Just close your eye and the car is going. You don't need to make much. You just put your GPS. And now I hear even now they have the driverless cars, isn't it? You know? So what's your faith for? To believe that God will bring you from Atlanta to Mahomet. Is that faith?
Only sometimes.
Okay, sometimes.
Yeah.
But I can believe God that my inward man will arise.
Yeah.
I can believe God for that. Amen. I can exercise that faith. Amen. I can believe that my emotions can become sweet.
Yeah.
That is the Feast of Tabernacles. Sweet.
Yeah.
Sweet. Sweet wine. Yes, I'm that wine. The new wine. Hallelujah. Amen, brethren. So, he said, now is the time. Hallelujah. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. Verse 12, the night is fast spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. And let us put on the armor of light. Amen. So, I believe there's a new dispensation coming. We're going to see a new type of Christianity. We're going to see a new type of bride that have oil in the soul, the emotions. Amen. Somebody is talking about miracles. Why don't we have miracles? We don't have miracles because the outward man is still functioning. Amen. When the inward man comes alive, we will see miracles. It will be a daily occurrence. Amen.
Yes.
Jesus went from miracle to miracle. Miracle to miracle. Why? Because the inward man was fully alive.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He could hear his father. He could, you know. In fact, he perceived their thoughts. He perceived it. They were thinking and he could feel. You know, we are coming to a place where we will be transparent with one another. Oh yes, you can feel my heart. You can feel. Hallelujah. So we are coming to a new level of fellowship.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So brethren, exciting days are here.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Exciting days are coming, have come to the church.
Yeah.
Amen. You know, where we can overcome. You know, where we can come into the reality of what God is speaking of.
Amen.
Let me close with the story of Elijah. You know, there are two things with Elijah, the fire and the rain. Someone says, I see, I can hear the sound of the abundance of rain. Do you hear it?
Yeah.
So I hear that sound. And not just that, he saw the fire come also. But you know, the fire cannot come unless the altar is repaired. And the altar is in the soul. And in the soul, in the heart, is where you have offense, bitterness, or, you know, all those things. That's why that altar must be repaired. Amen. And then the ministers, just the priest, the priest in is the mind, the emotion. Those are the priests. You know, they must eat. They must come to the, you know, to the golden altar. They must come to the shewbread. They must come to the lampstand. Hallelujah. So there's a new reality, brethren. Hallelujah. And he says, when he offering, the fire came. So brethren, we are due for fire. There is fire that's coming. And there's a rain that is coming. There's a new dawn that's coming. There's a new awakening, new reality. And let me say, there's a new ministry that's coming. The old type of ministry is now faded. Hallelujah. There's a ministry with the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. So, brethren, I believe there's a call to awake. To awake from where we are. Because we are at midnight. And there's a time element. You know, midnight, we cannot continue to dance around. There's a time. So, behold the bridegroom. Those who went, the door was shut. There is something else that we haven't spoken of, the union, the oneness. So he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Amen.
Amen.
He that is joined unto the Lord is what? One spirit. Think of it. So that's something that do not understand it. The people of the world do not understand. They still think the church is still going to continue the way we are. They have something coming. There's a new church coming. A church that is going to rise and begin to operate in the spirit. Before the seas could take a move, Jesus already knew. He knew their thoughts. We don't need intelligence to know what we are going to do next. You know, there is a technology in the spirit that is coming. Hallelujah. There is a technology, there is an intelligence in the spirit that is coming. You know, and this is the time for us brethren to begin to awake, to begin to respond to God. Every man at his own level, every man in his own situation, because there is a new wine, there is a new story, there is a voice, and he says that all those who hear that voice will be raised up. So we thank God for the opportunity to share and draw attention to what the Lord is saying. Finally, I hardly have visions, but I saw something in the spirit, and you and I, we are linked together. You know, I saw a link. But I saw gold. You know, in the belief, you know. Among the brethren, I could see gold. Everyone, I could see gold. And this gold was linked. It was just linked to everyone in the fellowship. It made me change my attitude. Because I realized that there was Christ in every one of us. And when I disrespect anyone, I'm disrespecting the Christ.
Amen.
You know, we take ourselves for granted. We do all kinds of things. So my attitude is changing. I do it so that it will come full circle. There is treasure in this earthen vessel. Amen.
Amen.
There's treasure in this. I pray that God will open your eyes to see the value of your brother.
Amen.
And also to see your own value also. Amen.
Hallelujah.
So when you see your own value and you see the value of the brethren that God has brought into fellowship with, you know, we see that attitudes will begin to break down. The walls were broken. By the way, this flow cannot be stopped by walls. So you and I, we are living a long time. So whatever you do, so praise God.
Amen.
Amen.